Okay, well, welcome to all of you this afternoon. It's good to have all of you here. No, it's kind of daunting to me. I'm not quite sure about this, but today we have organization in the classroom is the title I ended up giving it. I'm not even quite sure what it was on your programs, but I have a quote that I have, and it'll be on your handouts when I give those to you too. So it's clutter smothers, order breeze. And I love order, so that really resonates with me. I love everything in its place. So clutter smothers and order breeze. I'd like to start talking just a bit about personalities. I'm fascinated with personality types. I love to study people, and I just love to see what makes people tick and how we're all so incredibly different, and yet we're all kind of predictably the same. And since it's a given that we will retain those personalities when we start teaching, broadly speaking, you are going to be either an organized teacher or disorganized. We also carry personality traits with us into teaching that seem like a real burden, a hindrance to us, you know, being an effective teacher, or we think anyhow. And one of those, for me, neatness and efficiency was that, because it's so ingrained in me that those traits, I had to just train myself to actually overlook something so I could connect with the person behind that mess or that distracting noise. So those traits, whatever they are, they'll vary with each one of us, but I am warning you that the session is given by a very practical, more of a boring, introverted person. I'm not much on broadening my world. I really hate taking chances. I hate feeling unprepared, and yet being inconsistent, I do sometimes wing it, and I'm always amazed. It kind of turned out okay. I think it's really good to have an idea of what comes naturally to us and what you're going to have to work on as a teacher, like what is, it's just not, doesn't come to you right away. So when you affect people every day, especially like a teacher, younger ones, to know what's going to trip you up more. So as we go through this, put yourself in either the tad messy, good for a party, my bed's not always made category, or else more the efficient, no nonsense, reliable stereotype. We're not a perfect fit for any personality category, but just put yourself in one of those for this session. And I'm taking for granted that if you're here today, you have some organizational problems. So we can, even if we're pretty organized, we can use some tips. I sure can. I absolutely love to watch personalities play out in a classroom. The students, of course, they're so fun. They're so true to themselves, and yet all of a sudden they'll surprise you with something that you didn't know was them. But teacher's general personality does set the basic tone for your classroom. And I love to watch a spontaneous teacher when a student stumbles in her door and he has something just for her he's bringing. And he also has really muddy shoes on. She will turn to him and she's in her eyes, like she sees his face and she's just delighted with what he brought. And she connects with him, and then she'll notice his feet later on, maybe. I think a more efficient, organized teacher will always notice the feet first, whether she mentions it or not. I would like for those of us who are more practical to sometimes just let our floor be muddy and to see our students as people created to be loved, not just objects to be propelled around. And I would like the untidy, fun-loving ones to maybe grab a few helps on efficiency. But being efficient and organized does not in any way hinder your ability to love your students, and I believe that love for them is actually what will make the difference. There are times when love looks at their face, and times when love actually looks at their dirty feet or their messy paper. So what I want to do is to help us see that the beauty and variety of what each of our personalities can bring to your classroom. an organized teacher, everything can look great, but she can completely miss her students' hearts. And that's probably a bigger pitfall than a teacher that's okay with Kleenexes on her floor. I have the next section here. I have on handouts, but I'm not going to give them out until a little bit later because they're connected to the back piece. But I have it titled Disciplined Lives, Myself and Them. And a lot of these points will be on your handout, so you don't need to bother writing all of them down. But Disciplined Lives, Myself and Them. God expects us to be disciplined people. I think demands isn't even too strong of a word. So we know that even in our own personal lives, we never can just kick it out of gear. We can never treat others exactly how we feel like that day. We can't think whatever thoughts we want. We can't eat whatever we feel like. So I believe that love for your students will make you want to teach them as early as possible to live disciplined lives for themselves. I firmly believe that there are some things that you should have, that you should insist on to help keep your classroom organized, things that they do that help keep it looking nice. And it's simply part of teaching them how to be disciplined people themselves. And I have five of them. They're ones I thought of. To me, they're very basic, but I have them on your thing too, so I'll just go over them. Now, their number one is they should keep their own desk relatively neat, which relatively can be stretched, you know. But they must learn to write neatly in their own work, and that, again, can be tampered with. However, neat for one isn't neat for another. Three is they should learn to take care of and keep track of their own belongings. And that I'm talking about, like, coats out in the playground, stuff they took down to the gym and they forgot, that kind of thing. And four, they should not intentionally misuse someone else's property, the school's, teachers, or other classmates. Five, if they do break, mark, or spoil something, they are responsible to do what they can to help fix it, mend it, clean it up, whatever. And it's your job as a teacher to help them develop awareness of those things. They're not adults. You will have to remind them often, and in some cases, incentive or discipline, you'll have to use that to even get any results. I don't think you even need to hold them to all the same standards as each other. You need to focus on improvement and insist on improvement. If they're not improving, you wasted your time. Sometimes a desk that would make you want to scream on one is actually, you're really delighted if you see it on it, that looks like that on another pupil, because they had actually tried to make it look better. Sometimes on their, especially like in their work, writing neatly in their work, you almost have to gain perspective of whether you're coming or going on that. You about have to look back at something they've already done, the beginning of their book or something, because usually they have this, it just, the beginning of the year, you're kind of holding it together and it doesn't take long and it all just goes downhill. So you have this big sit down and you kind of really get hard on them about it, and everything goes whoop, and then pretty soon it's down the drain again, and you about forget where you're at. So if you look back sometimes at some of those and just try to see what it used to be. If it's any better, great, you did some headway. If it's not, you better have another sit down. A coat on the floor can be as easy for you to pick up as them, but hopefully if they do it, they'll learn quicker. You will be a more effective teacher yourself if you know where to put your things or where you put your things and are disciplined about being organized yourself. Use your head and always try to keep improving your teaching space, making things accessible for where you're at when you're teaching, or just if you know you're going to need something, don't let it over in the other corner if you're teaching up here in this corner. Try to just use your head and have your things where you need them at the right time. It's not only time waster, but it's this frustration, or at least for me, very much. I was teaching for Alex last year, and I had this yardstick. I'm a yardstick lover. I just can't quite teach a class without a yardstick in my hand, and I would have it at the board, and I would prop it. The boards are on the same wall, and I'd prop it like right in between them so that I could get it for, you know, that was being efficient. I could get it from both boards, and I'd be over at the one board, and I'd run out of space, and I'd jump across to the other board, and my foot would catch this stupid yardstick, and it would go on the floor, and I would keep writing because I was in the middle of class, and I was whatever, and then I'd pick it up and keep going. Prop at the same place every time, catch my foot on it. Sometimes I miss it, and after a couple of days, I was just ticked. Like, it was so frustrating. Because there wasn't really a good spot to put it, and I would come up from picking it up, and your temper is just a little shorter. Like, you're just, I just cross. That's the kind of organization problem that you don't have to keep fighting with. I mean, just find a home for that yardstick. So at the beginning of the year, you have everything, like, super perfect. It's looking good. You have your craft supplies all in the cupboard and the door's shut. They can't see what all's in there. You have paper and stuff for them in a lower drawer. And you have your teacher's guides all propped up, like thinnest to thickest. You know, that seems efficient. And you have your teaching helps, your play money, your duty clock, whatever. You have them all just in this filing cabinet, flashcards behind your drawer. You have this. It looks great. But, of course, when you start to teach, everything sort of goes downhill fast, it seems like. And we don't really have a problem organizing an empty room. That's not really an issue. Think more about when that craft cupboard looks kind of like a bomb was housed in it. Or you found you couldn't remember at the end of a stressful class period which sequel of thickness your math book was, and you just sort of crammed it in, and your flashcards, they were always on the table because, I mean, duh, you're not going to be in your filing cabinet behind your desk trying to get your flashcards. It just didn't make sense. So they look kind of ill-used because they've been knocked off the floor how many times from all the little hands on your table. In my mind's eye, I would wish to teach not just in a perfectly functioning school. Like, I would want it to be designed by someone that taught, or I would wish it was designed by someone that taught just like I did. Like, the wall space and the drawer space, like, they had me in mind. They knew how I taught. That would be ideal, wouldn't it? Because even, I mean, to me, this is obviously a room designed for school teaching. And it's a great blessing. Definitely, to teach in a nice classroom, but a lot of times we'll find ourselves teaching in places that teaching school was never in the plan for that spot, and makeshift is a pretty kind word for it. So my word for teachers in those cramped, cupboardless rooms is you're just going to have to get an A+ for ingenuity. It's your job to find a place for your stuff. It's your job to make that room work for you. Teaching children does not require a lot of space or a lot of storage. And do be flexible and kind to your school board about something you'd like to have them changed or you'd like added. They've really never been an organized woman teacher with her boundless stuff and ideas, and just be kind to them, because they often will take you seriously if there's something important to you. But try to work with what you have or what you can get yourself. So use your head. Use Pinterest. Works great. Don't stress yourself out about having your room perfect looking all the time. Maybe it doesn't bug you when the desks are knocked out of line, or they have stacks of personal belongings behind their desks. That's okay. But remember that your goal should be to train them to live disciplined lives. And you must have some neatness and general orderliness rules, whatever those are that you decide on, just to cultivate discipline in them, and be consistent in holding them to those things, of course. it rarely comes naturally for a child to pick up after himself. Don't do it for him. Okay, I'm going to give you your handouts, and you can look over. Actually, do you want to give to that side? And Rowena, do you want to? She might. You might have to do some. Just give everyone one. The first paper on that is basically what we've gone over, the disciplined lives part. It was just certain points that I know when I was in these meetings, I never wrote them down. You're always glad if someone did it for you. So there's different points on here, and I want to have some discussion on these 5 points that I have, things that I think every child should, you've got to teach that. If you don't have a rule about how many are up walking around at once, not a big deal, but these are general important. So you can be thinking about those, and we'll go over them later on at the end. And then the next 3 sides there are just different categories that I took and have places to be organized in. And these are, you could say random, ones I thought of. And if you have ones that you think of that should be added, great. And I wrote down points on each of them from my own. They're all generic. Hopefully you all do these things anyways. But I'd love to add more to them. So I'm going to have at least probably 15 minutes or so that I'd like used to ideas you have, something you do, questions you have, whatever. I would love to hear from you. And about the first page as well, those 5 points, ways to get your student to clean up his desk without a noose around his neck, and neat work and stuff like that. Like, if you have any stuff on those, feel free. But let's go into the second page, the one that starts with the organized in. The first category I have there is to be organized in your mind. Anymore, we have an overload of Zen comments or ways of life. If you've heard anything at all about comments or anything, stuff like make a life you don't need a vacation from, simplify, believe in yourself, wash away negative thoughts, practice mindfulness, you know, we've heard them. There's millions of them. You might have kind of developed an aversion to the whole batch. I sort of do. And yet, if you start from a basis of a relationship with God, who is the essence of virtue and wisdom, instead of a Buddhistic, I can liberate myself from suffering if I concentrate on, meditate on wisdom, it changes the whole tone of this thing of being organized in your mind. So organize or declutter your mind by giving God the place in it that he delights to fill. And I have those 6 things. Pray intentionally, pray for and about details. To be disciplined about spending time with God. 3, let God have control of your day. And 4, accept the days that go in your 2017 nightmares file. There will be those. 5, learn from failure. It will keep you humble. And 6, do your best and be at peace. If you have something to say on that, keep it for later. We'll come back to that. But then the second category is desk and room setup. This is more your practical, classroom stuff, I guess. Set up your classroom, and this would, of course, be at the beginning of the year, but if you rearrange anything, you'll have to think about it, I guess, too. But make sure that if you don't have a class table, they can all see the board from their seats. That whole deal of the teacher sits at the back of the room looking at their backs, kind of fun for something different, I guess. I don't know. I always hated it. Like, I want to see their faces, not their backs. But if the board is behind you, that's stupid. Don't do stuff like that. Make sure they can see the board. And if you have a class table and you plan on using it, at least give yourself space to to see their work or to walk around it is ideal, and still be able to write at the board. You're going to have to move around. Sometimes rooms are just too small, or they're simply too full of desks to be efficient with floor space, but try to keep your aisles distinct. And I don't think I even have that one on your paper, but if you have distinct aisles in your room, it really helps to cut down that meandering, like a student just in and out of desks on his way to hand in his book, that kind of thing. So if you have, can at all make aisles, better yet. The next one there is planning your day. You make your life a whole lot easier if you at least look at your lessons the night before. And I realize there are some morning people. I'm not one of those. But the morning is always seemed to me pushing it too close. Like if I looked over it the night before, I was always better than the morning. You have like half an hour and they're coming, and there's a sort of desperateness that sets in. That's the night before is usually a better time. And there are times it doesn't happen for whatever other reasons. And it can work, especially if you've taught the lessons before. You know what's coming. But even if you don't have lesson prep to do, just look at it. Move your tag to that lesson and at least glance at it. It helps to even just organize your mind for how you're going to teach the day. And I like to pull out the new flashcards, words, or charts that you're going to use that day and stick them in my answer key. That's a personal preference. Sometimes your day will get technical if you have multiple grades and you will have two grades learning the new thing, new concept, the same period. And you already know that one or two students is just, they're going to struggle, they're not going to get it. Even if you spend all period with them, they're going to be doing good to have it by recess. Those kind of days, you may need to just switch a period, math and language for the day, for one period. Whatever works. Just, you're going to have to be flexible about how you schedule it. If you see a class or a period that looks like it could bottleneck, have a backup plan, something that you could do, keep them busy with while you finish up or something. You can't obviously plan for everything. You're going to get curveballs all the time. There are times when your well-organized schedule goes completely awry, but be able to accept those days and to love the people that messed up those days. The next one is teacher's guides. Keep the primary subjects closest to you. Have them within reach of your desk. If you don't like them on your desk, because if you're like me, you can't see over them and you can't actually make eye contact, put them behind your desk, on a chest or on the floor can work, whatever, close to you. You shouldn't really have to walk anywhere to get your books, I don't think. The next one is your planner. This one, keep it simple. I mean, it's your planner. You don't really need, if you like journaling, maybe have a journal then. Use colored pens, highlighters, whatever, to make stuff you need to know for the day just pop out at you. But most planners have those, you know, those fun, that column of lines on the, usually on the right-hand side there. I love to use that for stuff that, just cute stuff they do during the day that you'll never remember if you don't write it down, or you know, you get to the end of the year with your yearbook and you need those remember whens and you have no idea what happened that year. That column kind of works for that. But your planner, your days, space your subjects. Just keep it as uncluttery as possible. And then your grade book. And this again, just write super neat. Not the time for flourishes and curly Qs and stuff. Just, and if you enter them on the computer, it's easier yet, but skip lines between the names of your gradebook if you can. Don't use your gradebook for memos, not a great spot. Textbooks, if you use CLE, have a spot for all those light units. And your school board, they, I'm sure, hopefully, have thought of that already and made a spot for you, have that all figured out for you. But I just saw, just since I got in this room to teach this class, that Ruby has those. And I'm a fan of laying them flat. I hate them stacked. I don't know, it's probably saved space like that, but personally I like them flat. I think it's works better for me. I like them flat, 10 on the bottom. You have a set of, if you have six students in that grade, you have six light unit 10s on the bottom. You switch the spines for each. And if you have a question on how that works, you can ask me later. It can get technical. Finished textbooks. Have a specific place to return them, obviously. If you have them flip their open book upside down at the beginning of the lesson they finished, it makes checking just faster. It really does save time for you. And your teacher helps, your clocks, your money, this could be all kinds of, you know, especially if you teach younger grades, you might have blocks, you have some gizmos that they work for one student, that's about all you need them for, but you just kind of accumulate stuff. Keep them as close to your desk or your teaching space as you can. Small baskets, containers, you can find all kinds of stuff that will work great to consolidate all those miscellanea. And then the charts and flashcards, keep them in their box if at all possible, or in a safe place. And then when you're ready, when you prep your lesson, get them, put them in your book, put them where you can see them, whatever, so they're ready for the day. But don't waste valuable class time digging in that box for the 23B chart that you know you need, but someone mixed them all up and you have no idea where it's at. Do the same with the flashcards, the old ones and the new facts. Keep them close by so that even through the day you can, when someone has spare time or after recess, when they're still coming in from recess, you can remember to practice them if they're laying. I like them on my desk. Like the new facts, I usually just let them on my desk because then I see them and I can actually review them during the day. 10 or 20 seconds a couple times a day can make your review time the next day a definite improvement. And then the classroom management, and this one's, I imagine if we have discussion, classroom management is, it's often what I think of as one of the most either organized or disorganized parts of a classroom. It's probably the broadest category to try to bring organization and order to. I'm not really going to cover it extensively, but there are a few things that I think of when I teach or when I visit a classroom that make it seem cluttered. The learning space just feels tight, whatever. Some are simply my own pet peeves, I realize that, but it is something to think about. The first one there, I have students walking between desks. There's nothing like someone brushing between your work and the desk in front of you to really knock your concentration. Two is three or four people moving around. And, oh, on your thing, I have more than one person moving around. Three is unnecessary noises. And by that, I mean kicking their desk when they raise their hand. A desk that needs oil, tapping a pencil, tipping their desk lid and watching all their belongings go on the floor. You wouldn't believe how fun that is. It's amazing. So that kind of thing, and some of those are, they're completely mindless. They're not trying to be a brat. They're just like, it just helps them think better. But children can adjust to almost anything, and if the best way for you to have them read them stories, their stories, is to read them to each other, they'll get used to that monotone in the corner while they work. But I think we should try to eliminate as much of them as we can. Naturally, you have students that those things just don't really faze them. But if you have a harder learner or a short attention span of any sort, they will just gratefully listen or stare. And it doesn't even have to be anything interesting. You as a teacher need to be conscious of how distracting you are yourself. Walk around the room while they work. Teach classes with energy, insert randomness in their day to wake them up, and by all means, do those things. But sometimes quietness is also really important. And sometimes 3 seconds was about all you managed for the day. It's simply a way to help organize a cluttered space. Then I have drawers. Sometimes you simply aren't blessed with drawers, and you better get creative. There's all kinds of lovely baskets, decorative boxes, all kinds of stuff out there. You can house craft supplies, even books. If you don't have a bookshelf, you can put them in boxes of some sort, and they can actually look really pretty. Just random things, and take the time to clean out and arrange those every now and then. If you let your students help, you'll be amazed at how they care if it gets messy too quickly. Your craft storage, often you're supposed to have an extra ruler, a scissors, glue, that right shade of crayon. You're kind of supposed to have it all. Copy paper. Some of this can fit really nicely in your desk, but you don't really want to dig through googly eye packets and foam stickers when you're trying to find your pitch pipe Monday morning. So keep the things for them to use somewhere else. Even if they have to ask permission to get them, just they don't need to be in your desk. And then I have random items, and that's just, I don't know what else you could put on there. I thought of the yardstick, fly swatter. Just find a spot, somewhere that's going to work. Fly swatter, you don't need it every day, but when you need it, it's fairly desperate. You need your fly swatter. So know where you put it. I have their attack or push pin on the inside of your door, a cupboard door. Probably random nail holes around your room, not a good idea. So I would like to have anything you have to say about any of those categories. Other categories, you see I have a little section of notes there. If someone has another thing that either something that really got disorganized for you or something you like to do. But let's talk about these five here first, maybe. If you have any thoughts on these five things that I think you should insist your students do. Their desk, keeping it neat, learning to write in their own work. I think we as women can kind of get trapped in, like, oh, they tried so hard, or... you know, if you have someone that's just doesn't seem like they're going to get any better than they are, you sort of know that point, and you're kind of loath to push them past that. Like, you don't really want a meltdown if it's a girl, or sometimes a boy too, but you don't want to go too far. But I don't think you're wrong in insisting that they make an A shaped like actually those lines. Those lines are, they can keep tracing it for 5 minutes if that helps them, but you don't have to just be okay with a hernia out the side of it. Like, you don't have to. And I think as women, we sort of get this, well, we're kind of nice, and we sort of just like, oh, poor thing, you know. And he's so cute after all. So we just sort of let it go. But that's the kind of, not everyone is able to write super neatly. But the ones that can as well, I think they just need to be, use that discipline and push them a little harder. And you don't have to be mean about it or anything, but any thoughts on any of those five, something you've done or question you have, or something to add to the five, I guess, too?
I'm keeping their desk neat. I've heard of teachers that have required their students to put their books in a certain way or a certain order, their desk has to look the same, whatever. How important is that? I mean, how much should you enforce how they have their desk set up?
I hate those rounded desks on the bottom. You know those things? Everything slides into the bottom. You have the pencils, but they all have their own, their belongings are all the same shape. You know the student that has this long, like their pencil box is that odd size, and even you help, and you can never quite make it fit in that desk, right? That's, I don't know, does anyone else have any thoughts about it? I'd be slow to tell them they have to set up their desk exactly the same, but, because their desks are usually, everyone's different. shaped and... Yeah, and sometimes you can even give them, like, they'll just not think about it and put one of their books that they use every day down on the bottom or something like that. Like, and sometimes it doesn't even take long, like, if you actually help them once to clean it out. But then you have ones that just, they don't care. I mean, they literally don't care. Yeah. Any of the other ones there. We don't have a lot of time, so we'll go on to the other ones if no one has anything more. Do you have any other areas, teaching spot that questions about? If you're in schools like, I think, rooms like these kind, you don't have a lot of problems. I mean, you can have problems, but where to put your things doesn't really enter in too much. Tips on that? What do you guys do?
For a little while, they had earned, we were earning money, so they earned money for neatly written papers. But the thing is, the way I did it was, after they did their lesson, I checked over, and if they didn't fix anything, then they got the money. But then, how often do you have all that time?
Exactly. You looked over before they handed it in.
Yeah. It worked really well. They had nice work. Yeah, really came with their work. But then after we stopped earning money, I went back downhill again.
They sort of, you can about see it when they do their lesson, like they're just way more comfortable. Let's just go. And then there's papers that you don't want to erase either.
Yeah.
I mean, if they took them a half hour to do that paper, you don't want to touch it. Yeah, I don't know. It's always kind of hard for me to, like, okay, you zone in on a letter that, no. I mean, nothing's rarely always perfectly made. But if you look at the sheet or the page and overall it just looks hairy, then that was often more what I would go by, because I can get real technical and you look at this, well, is that neat or not? And then after a while, I don't know either. Like, I'm just sort of like, I mean, yeah, it was drooped over the line, but I mean, I'm just being paranoia because I did that one. There's been a couple, everyone else's looks kind of the same way. It's not bad. But if you have a lesson that just looks like they didn't care, I think that's when you should start to do something. I mean, the eraser. Yeah. Yeah.
And if that's not neat, then maybe they have to
try that again rather than doing that half hour page report.
That's a good idea. Because sometimes it took about all they have to do that work.
You hate to erase it.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
What about ones that are so particular that they spend half an hour on it?
No. And you wish that you could make them loosen up.
Yeah. I had two of them like that, and one I told her to, she did loosen up. But the other one I just never could get her to. I mean, her writing was beautiful.
Yeah.
But then it would look good, and then she'd erase it because it would look like
And sometimes those kind will hear you after someone else, and they'll just get, like, they'll just bend over the book more, and you were talking to them, somehow you have to make them care. I know, it can be almost sad because they care so much.
And then she'd take a long time on the work, but I just never quite get her going. Yeah. And it wasn't like she did good work, too. It wasn't like she got super good grades and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't push too hard, but so I'm sure he has ideas for that too.
I know. Anyone else have anything? She's talking about someone that's stressing about it already looks like it came straight out of the printer and she's trying to make it neater.
I used to be one of those children. I think my biggest problem was I was so oversensitive that I couldn't even enjoy my school because
mm-hmm.
I had to have everything perfect. So if you can let them know that, hey, it's okay, just the way it is, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think it's as stressful for them as anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it helped her in some other ways to just let it go.
I think you have to gear it by student. Like, you have to know where they're at personally. You can't just make even a rule on it for the whole classroom because, yeah, you'll have both extremes probably in the same class. Okay, just in closing here, so if you're a happy-go-lucky, more disorganized person, you may have to use some work hard on your own self-discipline to accomplish an organized classroom. But if you find yourself noticing all of the details that are out of place at the expense of the heart of your children, you'll have to discipline yourself just to let stuff go. And I guess it would be one of those neat freaks that would have to do that. Remember, your goal in organization should be training your students to live disciplined lives. That's very important. I remember going to school meetings and hearing pieces in practical sessions like these and about how to keep you focused. They don't talk in their session about how to keep you focused on a life of integrity and for yourself, first of all. And I would have said in my head that absolutely, I agree, they're connected closely. But I think there was kind of an impatience in me, like, we're not at Bible school. We're not in this godly living seminar. Like, just give us teaching advice, something to get a hold of. And there isn't any way to separate them, the two, your own personal integrity and wanting to send that on, especially in this organization, disciplining yourself. I can't give you practical teaching advice on organization in your classroom without telling you that as a loved child of God, you have to possess the discipline to organize the chaos in your own life before you have any hopes of teaching it, passing it on. So may God bless all of you 2017, 2018 teachers. Give you peace and hope, especially in the days when they're most disorganized you ever imagined. God has amazing things he'd love to do in your classroom this year. So you can be dismissed.